This is RSVNB Update, episode 356, recorded Thursday, April 12th, 2012, the Guard Retribution Program. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us for this episode of RSVNB Update that's already primed to be interesting and thought-provoking. This week, King Kala is here.
Hey, everyone.
And the usual J1, J2, J3 is here as well.
Why don't you just call me by my forum name?
I figure we can channel people into your RS name to ask you questions and whatnot on RS.
Yes, the only thing I'm getting so far is a ton of spam.
Yes, but that's tricky. And if you guys don't know me, my name is Shane. So
nice to meet you, Shane.
Yeah, same to you. So we're going to discuss Dungeoneering, apparently.
Yay, it finally came out.
Even though we discussed this last week and we had everything nailed to the wall about what this would mean, it's actually here. So there's really not much to say, aside from the fact that the keying update came out, and the tool belt update came out, and the stackable resources update came out as well.
Actually, one little thing on Dungeoneering about the tool belt is that, I don't know if people read it or not, but you can actually carry the highest one, so you can grab a Prometheum pickaxe or a hatchet, and it will actually level up with you. So if you don't have the level to use it, it will actually treat it like a level 50 or a level 60 depending on your level, which is kind of useful.
Good.
So you don't have to constantly upgrade it every single time. Just get the best one right with you.
Why can't we have this on the surface world with that tool belt?
They're trying it out first. Think about it.
What do you mean trying it out?
Well, whatever happens in Dungeoneering doesn't really affect the RS world as much.
Yeah, that's true.
So they're probably using it as a guinea pig, see how it works out, and implement it in the future.
I hope so, because this is a really good update for tool belt and whatnot, because it's so annoying when you are somewhere and you need to mine something and you don't bring your rune or dragon pickaxe with you, and you get this silly little bronze pickaxe that's absolutely useless for mining anything at a decent speed. So, I would really appreciate it if this would happen. What about the keying update? I think this is just going to be the way we said it. 5 keyers instead of 1 now. Definitely speed up the dungeon runs.
Yeah, so basically, if one person finds a key, everyone else in the dungeon can use it, regardless of whoever took it first. So this will make it a little bit easier for people to get around.
Yeah, that's good. And of course, stackable resources.
That's actually.
Have we heard anything about the thought that was mentioned last week regarding whether or not this will be a huge amount of XP since everything is stackable now?
I haven't heard anything yet. Maybe someone else sooner or later take a look at it, but I haven't heard anything about it. And as we said last week, you'll actually run out of resources. So, and at C2, you're not going to get that much fish to catch anyway, unless you're
Full
gatherer ring set up.
And also, let's also remember that the Dungeoneering XP is not that great compared to things you could be doing on the surface world.
Yes. So, you want to get massive fishing experience, you go fly fishing in Shiloh Village or go catch monkfish.
Exactly. So, Kola, what do you think? I don't know if you played around or touched Dungeoneering when you were
I haven't yet, but it does sound like a pretty good addition to it. It seems like if it speeds up the process, it's good, isn't it? Because Dungeoneering is all based around timing, isn't it?
Yes.
Yep.
And, so that's a good thing. Ergo.
Yeah, and talking to my friend Burn, who has 120 Dungeoneering with his like elite group, they said that he said he was clearing large floors in 80 plus in like 5 minutes. I was like, how do you do that? It's like, you gotta get like everybody up to like 120 and plus.
That is like, pretty amazing. So it's and what was it beforehand for reference, the speed?
Depending on how the floor is laid out, between 10 to 15.
Okay, so about by half then.
Yeah, so, you know, his average run was around 7 to 8 minutes for after the update. So that was pretty good. This will hopefully cut down a lot of the grind of Dungeoneering.
Yeah, I hope so too. And it'll also deal with the idiots who pick keys up and refuse to use them on the right door.
Actually, the one thing I remember having is that someone would grab a key and hide the key somewhere in the corner. And then he'll log out, come back in like 20 minutes later. What's going on? Oh, I'm sorry. I disconnected.
See, that's another idiot Dungeoneering thing. I mean, the idea of Dungeoneering is sound. But it does not work when you have a bunch of teenagers, half of which are out to sabotage the game by being idiots. It just does not work when you have that dynamic with it. I'm sorry, Jagex, but we're not all focused around doing Dungeoneering like the people in your labs are. So, I mean, this goes a long way to correct that, so that's good. I still want to see the Dungeoneering matchmaking thing where you can just go into a little room on whatever world you're on and say, these are the floors I have opened. Find me people with separate levels who have a good track record, and off we go. So, if they can do that, I will say Dungeoneering is a skill, and I will embrace it like I have embraced farming.
Matchmaking seems to be something that most developers have been dropping the ball on lately. Even in like AAA gaming titles that have come out, matchmaking seems to be still a recurring problem.
Oh yeah,
even it makes me wonder, you know, why can't they do something like Valve does with TF2 and just make it so much easier like that with the actual servers rather than some random thing where you don't even know who the people you're dealing with.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with Dungeoneering, though, is you need to focus it around stats rather than just the actual event itself. So that's why that works with TF2. But I get where you're coming from on that. And you know, you are right in that matchmaking is horrible pretty much everywhere. Didn't we have a discussion about this last night in StarCraft 2?
Yeah, a little bit. Basically, for those who don't know, we're considered, me and Shane and two other people, we're considered platinum people, and we were fighting a couple of bronzes once in a while.
That was actually bronze quite fun. Is the basic first level in the game.
That's coolest level.
No, hey, he's silver.
I was a silver. I was not a bronze person. Of course, by now, I'm probably back into the Wood League. But
the Wood League?
Yeah, something that Husky StarCraft coined as being the league below bronze.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was HD.
Anyway.
We're off track anyway. The second part of this update was the shop UI have some improvements.
Ah, yes.
All right, you go ahead, Shane.
Overall, yes. Thank you for deferring to me on the UI part because, you know, I love the whole UI thing. Overall, I like the UI update for the shops. It's good. And, I mean, the UI is a typical Jagex UI in that it's still got a little Jagex quirks around it, but it's a nice evolution from what we had before. I still wish they'd ditch that default font and come up with something a little bit more RuneScape-ish because Verdana is a modern font that does not sit well in RuneScape, however many years ago RuneScape is. So that's one of my main criticisms still of it. But aside from that, I like the way the shops look. So, but there is a little kind of something else behind this update that doesn't really bode well for the economy. So rather than just changing the UI, they've also modified it so that the prices stay the same. So,
don't know why
let's
they did
say
that, though.
You have something like death runes, for example. Those death runes will stay common price whether you buy one or you buy 1,000 of them. So, I mean, it's a good thing for the buyers, but what this is doing is it's cutting out the whole Grand Exchange system. Because the Grand Exchange death runes right now are 418 GP, and the ones in the Magic Shop are like 310. And if you think about it, who uses more than 1,000 death runes a day? Anybody? I don't know.
People who would like to go maging.
Yeah, but I mean, still, 1,000 death runes a day?
Hey, man, you go into Soul War, start staying there for a couple of hours. I used up quite a bit before.
Even free-to-play PKing, I think death runes are still the highest elemental spell rune that you can cast. So they'd be useful for PvPers.
Mm-hmm. But the thing with this is that the prices don't scale. So let's say you find a cheap item on the Grand Exchange that is actually worth more in the store, because I kid you not, there are actually items in the Grand Exchange that you can buy for cheaper and then sell it in a store. So, I mean, this is just horrible, because we do not need more money in the game. What the game needs at this point is a money sink. If you think about it, there hasn't been a money sink for a long time.
But also remember, Shane, every time they include a money sink, the money sink works about 1 or 2 days, and all the rich people just don't care.
The ones who have
couple billion GP, they don't care if they lose like 500 mil.
Yeah, but over the aggregate, I mean, something that's good long-term is construction, because there's always people coming into the game, and people are always wanting to redo their houses, so construction as money sink is a good thing.
But how old is construction now? I mean, it's quite a few years old.
Coming up on 6 years.
Yeah. There's nothing that new since then.
Exactly. And, I mean, if you look at all the other ways of money coming into the game, even high alking items now, you can start making profit on those. All the bossing stuff, money on those coming into the economy. I mean, it just needs to be a way to put a bit of a money sink on the game again. So I think that this was the wrong move with the shop update. So we'll have to see what happens with this, and you know, maybe they'll revert it. Because do you guys remember a time when there used to be infinite stock of stuff in the stores and the price would stay the same?
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of like that. But did that go away with free trade or...
I'm not sure. I remember when they changed the shop so that they're personalized towards each player rather than everyone. Yeah. So, because I remember way back when people would be in the rune shop and they'd be lining up to try for the next click over so when they could buy chaos and death runes.
But
then they changed it over so it was just to every person, which meant that there was less competition for resources, which meant that levels of GP actually dropped. But then they introduced the infinite, which meant that it still stayed the same. So I'm not sure what they're trying to do with this one, but
yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's baffling. I just hope that somebody in Jagex has the background to run an in-game economy like this. Because some of these things just seem too questionable. Like, they just don't seem right.
Hey, maybe somebody at Jagex is running a, you know, Chinese sweatshop. he's selling the gold to put into his own pocket.
The Jagex sweatshop.
You never know.
So you're saying that the guy running the Jagex sweatshop is actually inserting these updates into the game to benefit himself?
Hey, you never know.
On the side?
Never know.
Well, that's another conspiracy theory I'm sure people will be adding to the list now.
Yeah. All right, let's see what crazy ideas people can come up with.
As if there wasn't enough, eh?
Yeah. All right, well, there's really not much else to say on this except to go buy, stock up on your runes and whatnot before this disappears, because in many cases the runes are cheaper than the Grand Exchange price, so knock yourself out.
All right, I'm going to stock up on death runes then. I need more anyway. And blood. How much are bloods now?
I'm not sure what the bloods are in the store, but I can tell you that the bloods on the GE are about 330 GP each.
I'll check the wilderness guide.
Well, compared to deaths, I mean, it's cheap.
Anyway, yeah.
Shall we move on to other things like tweaks and fixes now?
Feeks and twixes.
So, crafting battle staves, fishing in the Living Rock Tail Caverns, and using spinning wheels can now yield a Shattered Heart Strange Rock.
Yay.
That's good. So that also means that those can also yield a double spin token on the Squeal of Fortune. So another thing you can do to get a spin on the Squeal of Fortune without spending money. A message is now displayed when XP is gained in the 10th skill after activating the Jack of Trades aura. That's good, because I use that often and I never know exactly when
I've done
all my 10 skills. Yeah, so that's good. Message is now displayed when a player's special attack energy reaches 50% and 100%.
That's a good update.
Why do we need that?
Because sometimes, whenever I'm fighting other people, I never notice if it's full or not. I keep going back to check on it. So this way it just gets rid of one extra click that can, you know, become in a clutch.
Okay.
It makes it right there instead of you keep a look at it every single time. More battlefield awareness.
Battlefield awareness.
Yes.
Actually, you know, this would have been a good thing because when I was ice bursting my rock lobsters, I needed to get a quick heal with my enhanced Excalibur. And I mean, if it would have just shown, I could have just swapped over and done that rather than having to keep swapping back to see when it reached 100%, I guess. So, okay, I can see use for that. And vampiric names earned during the branches of Darkmire can now be changed once the quest is complete by talking Venescula. Do you remember that part? I don't remember where that person is or even getting a vampiric name.
Just end of the quest. Can't remember where exactly.
Oh, remember you died on that?
Hmm?
Remember you died on that quest?
So did you.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, this was the one to get your name changed, right? Put on the whole gear and the branches of Dragmire.
Yeah,
you died. Yes, you did. You died to the bosses many times.
No, I don't think so. But
Okay.
Release notes. Anybody have anything they want to highlight from the release notes this week?
Swampy Boaty is now called Swamp Boat. Okay.
Oh, that's horrible. That's a horrible change.
Okay.
Because the Swamp Boaty is the boat that you take from the shortcut point in the swamp down to Morden. It used to be a quick way to access the barrows. And for the longest time ever, this was called Swamp Boaty. And, I mean, that's what it became named as. So why not just leave it? I mean, if that was a typo, that's a 7-year-old typo.
Because Bodhi, it's a new boat.
Isn't Bodhi a nice way of saying boat?
Shane, it's a boat. Why don't you just leave it alone?
Even based on this, I named my Star Trek Online build the Beam Boaty.
Kula, help me out here. Back me up.
Oh. Kula we lost die? Him. Yeah.
Okay, then.
Yeah, we lost him somewhere along the lines. No wonder he's been so quiet. He's even off Skype.
Okay, then.
His internet must have died or something. So, that's too bad.
Again.
So, the Swamp Boaty. Rest in peace.
Get that done.
I don't know. Nothing really else I want to say from here.
Let's see. What was this one? If you want to confirm, let's see, it's possible to confirm yes or no using Y and N keys on the confirm destroy interface. That's nice. So what's this one? Fur trade. Right click fur shop option has been given to the fancy dress store in Varrock.
Who's
That's okay.
this?
The fur trader, the fancy dress shop in the little corner of Varrock.
Okay.
Remember the family crest?
Oh, right, okay. All right. Yeah, nothing really else here. So I think we can move on. Yes?
Yeah, go.
All right. Calling all T-shirt and RuneScape geography buffs. The greatest Easter battle of all time between Chocotrice and Evil Chicken is in full swing, and over the last week, the vote Chocotrice campaign HQ has been inundated with support. Chocolate lovers, we thank you. Campaign T-shirts went on sale last week, and since then we've been snapping J-Mods adorning themselves in the vote Chocotrice T-shirts. You can find out which J-Mods are supporting our valiant cause by checking out the Chocotrice HQ thread. Then we got a little picture here of some J-Mods wearing their Chocotrice shirts. So, they've even got a link to a Vote Chocotrice campaign on Twitter, which is interesting because, personally, I don't think we'll see many people using Twitter to discuss the Chocotrice versus Evil Chicken. I mean, it's nice and everything, but honestly, I don't think that that we'll see people wanting to go to Twitter for this. If anything, they'll be discussing it in their friends and clan chat channels, etc. So, essentially, what they want you to do with this is go to their competition thread, and then based on this, they'll show these areas, and then after that, you can select all these areas about where you think they are, and then you'll be entered into the competition. Then they say if you're rubbish at geography or worse, or are an Evil Chicken supporter, then you can bypass this by picking up a T-shirt directly from the Jagex store.
Okay. I got nothing much to say on this thing anyway.
Okay. Of course, I don't know. I think you're supposed to win the signed shirt by this. So, yeah. Apparently it'll be a shirt worn by Jagex supporters. I hope they wash that first.
I think you should hope that the guy who wore it actually took a shower before he put it on.
Or that. That too.
Okay.
So. That's it for RS updates, and just looking at some of the locations here, and I think one of them is definitely in Knifis, one of them is in Alcarid, I'm guessing. Let's see where these other ones are. Not sure where number one is. Number one is the courthouse. Not sure about number two or three. Four is Alcarid, and five is Knifis. I'm pretty sure. What do you think? Any idea what two and three are?
Two and three. Oh, that one's. I think that number three is definitely in Drainer.
Okay.
In that one, not in Drainer. In Lumbridge, in between the Drainer and Lumbridge, that little area.
Oh,
because
right.
The man standing there looks like. That man standing there looks like that safari guy who gives you the explorer ring.
Okay.
No
number
idea.
Two, maybe somewhere in Varrock? In the south part of Varrock, maybe? I don't know.
I'm guessing Folly, but that's me.
Okay.
You got that?
So there's your hints. don't enter them and assume they're right. That's just hints. So we're not taking any responsibility if they're wrong. All right, so that's it for our updates this week. Moving on to the questions right now. We got five questions this week, so you want to read the first one?
Okay, let's see what we got here. All right, this one's from Tigeroon. I noticed that when the that when the ability to buy Squeals of Fortune spins, you say that the game needs a new money sink due to inflation. While I totally agree, how do you propose that Jagex does this? Add a new minigame or a new skill? I don't think there's many more skills Jagex can add, in my opinion.
Well, as Kolo was saying before he disappeared,
God,
500 million for somebody who has billions is not much at all. So we do need to take that into consideration, that the money sink needs to be expandable. Well, I think it might have been a good idea to take the idea of a money sink and put it into, say, something where you can buy spins with real GP. I don't think that would be an effective money sink because, well, not everyone's going to do that. There are some people that are going to do it, so it would be okay for them, but it's not going to be everyone across the board, like when construction came out, for example. Personally, I think that skills should not be money sinks. You know, the best way of doing this might be to completely change the way that some of the training works, not necessarily have it be a main way of training a skill, just add it in on the side. So, for instance, maybe throw something in that would be money sinkable with the smithing rework. So, for example, you have something that in the new smithing table that's a decent set of armor that's maybe a tad better than Barrows and takes about 80 smithing to make. So assuming with that, what you would do is then you would put your own money into buying the materials, say buy some kind of special additive to the... No, special additive that you insert into the fire when you're making your bars. And then when you smith that that additive and maybe something else, a special type of hammer or something that breaks every, 100 smashes would be as an effective money sink into the smithing skill. And then this would, of course, encourage people to use it by the very fact that they would not be able to trade this armor out to people, nor would it be viable on the grand exchange. And, I think that's the best way of fixing the game, is to put the money into the skilling side of things, but not necessarily the current ways that we have of training the skills. Just have it be a different way of actually making the items yourself. I really like the idea of the extreme potions not being tradable. So this is the kind of thing that the smithing would have with that. You need to have relatively high smithing to use this armor. Same would go for crafting and whatnot for ranged armor. And I don't know what skill you'd use to make magic armor, but that's the same kind of thing. And I know, Trekkie, from our experience in Star Trek Online, most of the good items in that game are bind on equip. So once you equip them on your character, you cannot trade them. So, I mean, it's not a foreign concept to have non-tradable armor. So I think that would be the way of doing it, just putting it into the actual construction of the armor or whatnot, and just have this armor be appealable enough to everybody that they'll want to use it.
Could always tax the wealthy.
Psh, no, that's a bad idea.
Why not? You can give it to
all the poor. No, you don't need to tax people. I mean, how would you like this? If you're sitting in your bank, you have, let's say, 10 million, and you come back and 3 months later, it's 7 million.
No, you only tax people who have more than 500 million GP. See, that won't include you, Shane.
No, I still think that's a bad idea. I mean, it would take money out of the game, but it's just a bad idea. And maybe it's a good idea, because then maybe it would convince the people who play RuneScape that a flat tax system and low taxes are the best for the real world, too. Because that's the same thing you're suggesting. You're suggesting that you take the tax from the money people have. And, people in game wouldn't like it, so maybe this will convince people in the real world to support low taxes.
Nah, Shane, we're giving welfare. There's a difference.
Yeah, well, you're saying the same thing. You'd be giving welfare to the game in general by going into the economy.
No, I put that money into good use. I put it into Farrakh guards and Falador guards rehabilitation. Think about it. How many Falador guards and Varrock guards have we killed throughout the years? Their family needs retribution too. I mean, it's like going on Skyrim, killing a chicken. You end up getting the whole world after you. You know, we should do something like that.
As funny as this is, it's a bad idea. And it would the only reason to do it would be to convert people that play this game into supporting low taxes in real life. So. That's an idea for Money Sing. Maybe have somebody have some other kind of summoning familiar come out that'll force people to train summoning again, or hell, maybe even make summoning charms viable. I mean, imagine 10k a piece for a charm. How many people would pay that?
10 piece of charm?
Yeah, 10k per charm.
Oh, for the summoning stuff?
Yeah, buying summoning charms. So that's like I need about 2,600 crimson charms for getting 88 summoning. So if I could spend 10,000 a pop and spend 26 million GP on that if I wanted to buy all my charms. I mean, I'm just trying to throw ideas out for a Money Sink. Tagering asked for a Money Sink, so I figured we'd give him a few ideas, but. Definitely, I do think that it's needed, and I don't think squeals it would have been a good way of doing it, because it's not widespread appeal. I mean, if they really wanted to do this, they would need to put an age gate on gambling and actually put the Berthorpe games room to use and turn that into a casino and say, yes, you need to send us some kind of verification that you are indeed over the age of 18. Then after that, you can come into the casino. And in the casino, you can have high-stakes gambling monitored by the Jagex servers using your in-game GP, which would then in turn act as a money sink. And you know, you would be able to buy GP as well using their microtransaction thing, but you wouldn't be able to buy insane amounts of GP. Maybe 10 mil a month or something would be a decent amount. I don't know, something like that. And you know, you stack that up over time, and you know, it's not unreasonable. There's other ways of getting that much money, so I think that would be a decent money sink. So, unless you have anything else, I'm ready to move on.
Yeah, let's just go. We kind of killed this already.
I'm sorry, someone, Tag, if we kind of went off track there.
If just saying, if someone wants to make a thread and you want us to start having a lot more inputs, feel free to make a thread. We can discuss this more in depth and in length.
Sure. Too bad Kolo wasn't here. It'd be interesting to see what he would have thought.
He don't care anymore.
Well, he's dead, probably. Well, he's not. That's bad.
Wow, Shane, really? You're going to throw down the dead card. That was quick.
All right, next one is from Marking 22. So I used to be a computer science major, but got tired of coding, and I'm now moving towards information technology major. Is this a step in the wrong way? The main thing I want to do is fix computers, but not build them like computer engineers. Basically, when something is wrong with computers, I want to be the person who fixes it. So is information technology the right way? Based on what you said there, yes, if you want to fix them, IT is the right way. But IT also includes things like setting them up, setting up networks, handling tech support, not necessarily when something is broken. So that is the right way if that's what you want to do. Computer science is the... most often software side of things, whereas computer engineering is the hardware side of things as well. All right, so I think we got Kolo back, so he did not die. You did not die.
No, I didn't die. My but my power did die for about 3 minutes, and it took me 15 minutes just to get the internet working again. Oh, so frustrating.
Why did your power die?
I don't even know. It just went out for, like, I kid you not, like maybe 3 or 4 minutes. Okay. And it just decided to come back on again, like...
Shane, did you forget to pay Kula's bill again?
No, I don't even know what happened. And then, of course, the modem and the router were bugging out because they didn't have any power connected to them, so I had to fiddle around with them just to get them working again.
Well,
1 minute I'm listening to Trekkie explain why the different upgrade was a good thing, and all of a sudden I don't hear him anymore. I'm like, And Skype's all like, oh, we've detected a problem with the call. And I'm like, is anyone else getting this? And my computer was running on battery. Of course, I didn't have any lights on my room, so I didn't even figure that the lights were out. I go down the hallway, and I'm like, all the lights are off in the house. Guess the power went out.
Then what'd you do?
Then I just waited. But here I am again. Good. So which part are we on?
The marking 22 question.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so, okay. Well,
that's okay. I didn't really need to have anything to talk about with School of Fortune anyways, so.
Okay. Or the money sink.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
t-shirts.
That's fine then. So, okay.
We'll just continue.
I think that is the right direction. Just be prepared that IT is not just fixing computers. It's a whole other thing as well. So just keep that in mind when you're heading into that field. And also, just for anybody else out there, computer science is not just coding. It's coding is just like using words to express what you mean in an English class. So, yeah. So I guess that's the part he got tired of. All right, well, Kula can take the next one.
All right. This question is from Optimaniac. Hey, Shane, Kula, and Trekkie. Just wanted to know about your thoughts about YouTube partnerships and if they're worth the time for the amount of income they generate. Thanks from Optimaniac. YouTube partnerships. I was under the impression that if you made YouTube videos and you got a decent amount of views on them and you like doing them, then you might as well become a YouTube partner because, well, you get money for something that you like doing anyways that you wouldn't normally get. So you might as well, right? Is there really a downside to it?
No, not really. I think the partnerships are one level above putting ads on your videos, which is the first level of monetizing. I mean, lots of people have made huge amounts of money off the YouTube partnerships.
Indeed.
It depends on what kind of videos you have. So it's all dependent on what kind of audience you have. And I'm sure that one day we're not too far off from seeing somebody who is going to actually have a living by just making videos on YouTube.
Something I think that already happens, yeah.
Well, I mean, not with viral videos, but I mean just...
No, not viral video. What's his name? Phil DeFranco?
And like Ray William Johnson and all of those other YouTube celebrities, you know?
Yeah, they make like... Last I remember on their doing last year, they made like $600,000 from the ad revenue or something like that. Like It was six figure. I remember that for a fact because it was all over the news for a while.
Yeah. So if you can get into the partnership thing, it's a good thing. I don't know if there would be any downsides to it. Like, it's not like they're going to tell you what to make. So.
Well, depending on if you believe some of the YouTube conspiracy theories, there are some companies who like would make you do a video just so they can have a cut of the money, and they basically do everything you just put your face on. Oh, what you doing, boy? Go away. Go away.
Are you finished?
Yeah. My dog just ran in here and almost tripped over one wire.
Oh, I thought you were talking to Benny there.
Benny's not here. He's in school.
Okay. Well, for anyone wondering, Benny is a son.
No, it's not. If you say that again, Shane, I'm going to kill you.
All right. So, partnerships, yes, go for it. Let us know how it works out.
I actually heard of,
what kind of videos.
I actually heard of some new thing that Will Wheaton and Felicia Day and some other big name geeks were creating. They're actually creating a new channel for web video series like TV shows, but on YouTube instead. They're actually trying to make that so YouTube gets more exposure from the TV crowd rather than like being in direct competition with something like Hulu. And so they could end up bringing more to YouTube that way, and this was something that YouTube was wanting to do. I'm not sure if it's going to work out or not, but some of the new things that they're coming out with are pretty cool. So,
well, actually, if you're American, they actually do have some full videos on YouTube. Just have to look for it a little bit, and they're all legal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's made by like CBS or some other big company. That's how I watch every single episode of the original series of Star Trek. I just popped it onto YouTube, started watching them, and started doing some on RS at the same time.
So, so Kala, is this YouTube thing you're mentioning to have actual TV shows on YouTube, or is it shows that are actually going to be just aired on YouTube originally?
I think it might be YouTube originally, not established shows that are already on television. I mean, like new things that are just debuting and on then, YouTube.
Then the question is, how are they going to market that to the TV crowd? Like you say, I don't understand that.
Well, I mean, there's probably already a substantial amount of internet users that are just casual internet users, not huge geeks like us, that would go to YouTube just to watch some funny video that their friends sent them.
Yes, but
whatever,
how... You know? Oh, okay, so they get sent
So they're trying to... They're probably trying to market towards those types of people that say, oh, well, you could either watch this show that looks really interesting on a certain time on your television. You have to be right there and you have to watch it all the way through and with commercials and whatnot. Or you could go to this YouTube video, which has the entire thing with no commercials, and you could watch it whenever you want. You know, I mean, I think the choices there are pretty clear. I'd certainly rather watch it on YouTube with no commercials whenever I want, rather than having to go to TV.
You know
watch it at a certain time.
You know, the funny thing is that if for those who actually can't use Hulu, they have commercials in between. Mm-hmm. But because I have ad block, they don't show up. But they know I have ad block, so I basically get a blank screen for about like a minute or so. I'm like, I'd rather have that than listen to some stupid condom commercial again.
Well, yeah, Hulu only works from within the United States as well, right?
Yeah.
So,
I don't want to ask what you're watching. Never mind. Don't answer that.
I was watching cartoons, not anime. Regular old-fashioned back in the 90s cartoons.
I see.
They just threw that in there for God knows why. It's like you remember Cool a couple years ago during the Star Wars marathon on Skype on Spike.
Yeah.
And they had like a million Trojan commercials every once in a while. It was all over Reddit.
Oh, I remember that, yeah. That was pretty funny. But anyway, I think that's...
Right. Yeah, that about covers YouTube, and YouTube is definitely here to stay, so best of luck, Optimaniac. All right, next one from Poison Nova. Dear host, if you were a starship captain and to choose any two characters from the Star Trek universe to accompany you on away team, which characters would you choose? Thanks, Poison Nova. See, we didn't bring Star Trek up this week. It was brought up by one of our listeners.
Actually, you brought it up earlier. We were talking about Star Trek Online.
Oops.
Yeah.
Kulla wasn't here for that. So, Trekkie, you can go first.
I have no idea.
Maybe you can explain to me what an away team means.
Go for it.
A group of people that goes to the planet with you for whatever reason.
Okay, so basically your squad or whatever.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, since I have a very limited knowledge of characters from the Star Trek universe, I think it's fair to say you guys should go first.
Only two people, two characters. Mm-hmm. I'll just bring two red shirts. I can use them as cannon fodder. There we go.
Okay. For me, I'd throw him away. I'd put a little more thought into it. I'd bring Data.
Yes, we know you would. I knew you would.
And the holographic doctor from Voyager, with his ECH routines activated.
Then he would be the boss of you then.
No, he wouldn't. You remember that Kim controlled him.
Okay. So you got an android and a hologram.
Yep.
Well, it depends on what the situation would be. If you're going down to a hostile planet, or if you're just doing exploration, or if it's an actual hub planet, so to speak. I'd still go with Data. That would be my first choice, anyways. I'd also go with what's his name from the movie.
Worf?
No.
The black guy? The bald guy?
No.
Blind guy? The girl?
The nerd? No, I'd go with Data and Scotty. That's who I'd go with.
The fat one?
Data and Scotty. That's who I'd go with.
Just
for the entertainment value, eh?
It's a good episode that if you want to see those two interact together, you can find it. It's a TNG episode called Relics. I think it's from season 5.
Mm-hmm. Only Shane would memorize that.
Well, I was thinking I might take Spock, but then he'd just, question my every move.
He'd take all the fun out of it.
He'd question my every move, so I wouldn't take him. Kirk would just go and daredevil his way around. So.
Oh, and Relics of season 4. I'm sorry about that. Then I got that wrong.
You got something wrong about Star Trek? The horror.
Yep. Okay, so there's the Star Trek fun for the day.
Yes.
Unless you guys want to talk about this anymore, I'm happy to move on.
Red shirts. Doesn't matter what happens to you, anything comes up, you throw them in front. They die for you. Their motto says, "Others may live."
Where does it say that?
I don't know. Somewhere in the Star Trek motto.
All right. Who wants to read the last one?
Oh, you do it, Kulla.
Me? Why me?
You're better at. No, I can't do it.
I'll try to say it with as straight a face as I can. So this question is from Fire Ring 401. Dear hosts, what do you think about the anti-abortion plus anti-contraception plus anti-rights candidate Rick Santorum pulling out before he could finish? According to his logic and ideology, pulling out is evil and equal to Satanism. I think that Santorum would be against pulling out. After all, he does have an abnormal amount of kids and is a fundamental Christian. All puns aside, do you think Santorum is using his daughter as an excuse to pull out?
No, I don't think so. I think he's finally realized the inevitable and wants to ensure that actually that the party has an actual chance of success come November. So I think he's actually seeing the writing on the wall of what's happening. And I mean, he could say that his daughter's sick and whatnot and needs to spend one time with her. And even if that's the case, if that factored into part of the reason, that's perfectly fine. I mean, isn't it true that family is the first thing that people need to consider next to their job?
Yeah, I'd say so.
So, I mean, I don't think that's the whole reason for it, but I think that he has accepted that it's over and he's not going to win, because I was doing some reading up, and apparently a poll in Pennsylvania, which is his home state, only has him leading by single points now. So even if he did win, it wouldn't have been a knockout victory, not even enough to guarantee that he'd get the majority of the delegates from that state. So,
and we all kind of
have to win your home state.
Did Obama win his home state?
Yeah,
Illinois. Yeah, he did.
Illinois, yeah,
he did.
Oh yeah,
he did it by winning the urban areas. Well, Clinton won the rural areas in 2008.
Well, usually city people are usually more liberal than people in the countryside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Redmonton, as an example.
Redmonton.
Yeah, that's what they call us here. But I'm happy that he pulled out, and it was funny because the day he made the announcement, you see on the Twitter stream, Newt Gingrich is actually almost begging for money now from the Santorum crowd. So I mean, even Newt Gingrich this weekend was saying his campaign is operating on a shoestring, and he thinks that he's prepared to work for Romney once all the dust has settled and everything. But now that Santorum is out, it's like he feels he has a new gust of wind in the sails again. So I'm not sure what his plan is, but he should probably pull out too.
He should. He wouldn't finish anyway. He'll probably pull out before he gets to it.
Yeah, and then it'll just be Romney and Ron Paul.
What's also interesting is that Santorum was heavily critical of John McCain back in 2008, and that he was actually supporting Mitt Romney at the time. So I think what he's doing here is he's not trying to fracture the Republican Party. He's trying to give them a united hope in their best.
Yep, that's right.
Probably their best chance to defeat Obama. I still don't think they're going to do it. But
no matter what Shane says, I still say Obama still has a chance. Hi-oh!
I don't think he's going to be defeated this time.
Hey, I think he will Kula. Be. So Kula, we'll have to bet something come November.
Well, Kula, okay. Do you remember one thing? Much us liberals said the same thing about Bush.
Oh yeah.
What? That Bush wouldn't make it to another term?
No, Bush wouldn't win his first term. That's technically he didn't win his first term. He stole it, but that's a matter for another day.
That's up to all. That's up to conspiracy theories and those who want
to. I think the world would be a much more dangerous place if Al Gore had been president back then.
I don't think so.
Didn't you listen to what Brian and Peter Griffin said? If Al Gore wasn't president, he would have defeated Osama bin Laden with his bare hands and creating universal healthcare.
Now you're getting your news from Family Guy, which is worse than getting your news from Fox News.
I'm actually surprised he actually knows what those two were. Oh my God!
I do.
Kula, it's a miracle! He understands pop culture!
My goodness.
No, I'm just saying it's bad to get your news from there. So.
Well, anyways.
Yeah. I'm just going to stop before I have the pitchforks pushed at me. I was going to say something nice about Rick Santorum, but I'll just keep that to myself.
Something nice? Shane, you never say anything nice.
Well, that's what I mean. I just wanted to, I think he's a good guy. I just don't think that the View is right. I mean, I admire him for his ability to go public and campaign on his ideals, and that's what it should all be about. So even though many people don't agree with him, I admire him for doing that.
He's a nut job.
Well, just be happy he didn't win.
Oh, we all knew he was going to win anyway from the very beginning.
Well, you know, he's if Romney doesn't win this fall, 2016 will be
it'll be Hillary.
No, on the Republican side, it'll be Rick Santorum versus Sarah Palin.
Ooh, let's no, let's.
If they okay, I'm saying this. Cool, I'll say this right now. If Sarah Palin wins, I am moving to Mexico.
Mexico? Why don't you move to Canada?
I don't know, you really think I want to be closer to Shane? He probably try to brainwash me. Like, he's in Mexico. I'll be just guy in the area.
Just like I'm gonna brainwash Ben, eh?
You already did. You know, he already got some. Well, I did something on his, on a certain web page of his, but I won't go into that.
All right. So thank you. I mean, Fire Ring. I was almost gonna call you Rick Santorum, but for that question, because we were reading about this. So thank you for the questions, everyone. And moving on to tech news now.
Move over. Ooh, interesting.
Move over.
Yes, very.
10^4 times 768.
Mm-hmm. Huh. This is, of course, regarding screen resolution. So before we get going, what screen resolution are you guys running right now?
That one.
1200 by 800. Laptop.
Okay. Trekkie?
That one. 1024 by 768.
You're serious?
Why?
On my on the desktop in the other room. On the desktop in the other room, there's only two options. One is 800 by 600 and 1024 by 768. So that one's running on that. But my laptop is 1280 by 800. I think it is.
Okay.
Double check that.
I'm running 1920 by 1080.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, 1024 by 768 is a bit like Windows XP. It's an old screen resolution. It doesn't want to disappear on the web. Call it, is that root computer in the other room use the internet?
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's the main desktop that my mom uses.
All right.
But it's
so,
it's
3 years ago. 3 years ago, 1024 by 768 accounted for 42% of all visitors to the roughly 3 million sites that use StatsCounter. Today, that number is 18.6%, and 1366 by 768 now accounts for 19.28%. So, 1024 by 768 is no longer the most popular.
And it's funny, later down in the article, it says that another resolution that is slowly declining in usage is 1280 by 800. It used to be an especially popular resolution on laptops, but most modern machines now offer higher resolutions. It's fair to say that my laptop is already like 4 years old, so I mean, there's probably bigger resolutions out there.
Ooh, yeah, graph. We still try and design our SBNB stuff for 1024 by 768 if we can, but if not, we'll go for 1366 by 768 because that's where most everything is going, and most people who have bought a screen in the last however many years ago think that 1080p is a good option, and that's what I use here. iMac is a different story entirely. So I'm happy about this because designing for 1024 by 768 was like designing for Internet Explorer 6. You can never make it disappear, and it's so painful to design for. So we're happy.
It's kind of amazing, though. I didn't know that 1366 by 768 was such a big resolution. Whenever you go to the stores, you see 1920 by 1080 for any kind of monitor,
well,
mostly.
Even then, laptops will definitely be using the 1366 by 768.
Not even
and
that I've seen.
1366 by 768 replaced 1280 by 800 because 1280 by 800 is 16 by 10. And recently, in the last couple of years, all the screens have went to the 16 by 9 aspect ratio to be in line with HD.
Mm-hmm. That's why I get black bars every time I watch something.
Yeah. So, anything else on that aside from a bit of celebration?
More Hot Pockets.
Okay. Well, in other news, Facebook has bought Instagram for $1 billion.
Yay.
So are they making a big deal out of that again?
Well, I mean, Facebook says that they're not going to be doing this often, but, I mean, I don't get why they'd buy Instagram. Does anybody – I guess you guys don't use Instagram, do you?
No, but I have a feeling it's because Facebook wants to take over in the picture display and uploading market.
Right.
Because they were trying to do that with their new timeline thing, right? And the display pictures. But I think that's probably what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. I just want to make it clear that I find Instagram really annoying.
Why?
Their Android app last week. I just find it annoying because people have some pleasure in taking what's a perfectly good picture from a good smartphone camera and making it look like it's a Polaroid picture when that's so long ago, and it's just really annoying seeing what could be a good picture and seeing it downsampled to some sepia or grayscale tone or washing the colors out, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but that's what people that are trying to be artsy do to their photos.
Yeah.
They try to mangle
them. Take a real picture if you're going to do that. I mean, if you're an Instagram user, nothing to offend you or anything, but use the app, but just don't call yourself an artist if you're using it, please. But $1 billion for something so simple. I wish I had thought of that.
Nah.
We just need to invent something that there is
a
market need for.
Market need
and
for?
And also they say that Instagram won't be changing at all because they're still going to offer Twitter connections and everything, and there won't be any Facebook special labeling on it or whatnot. It's just a cash injection into the thingy. Into Instagram. Mm. So.
Alright.
So, you guys finished with the Instagram story?
Yeah, I'm done with it.
Okay.
Trek is alright there.
That was stretching.
Okay. Well, the Nokia shares have taken a tumble. A drastic tumble.
I didn't even think they were still around.
Yeah, they're trying to get their new phone out called the Lumia 900. It's supposed to be a competitor to the iPhone, but there is a huge bug in the phone software. I don't exactly know what the bug is, but it was so bad that they are offering a refund to anybody who bought one in the last 3 months. And going forward, anyone who signs a contract with AT&T in the U.S. will get a free phone, essentially, if they want to take one of these Lumia 900s. It normally sells for, I think, $99 with a 2-year contract, and now it's going to be a free phone. So,
That's bad.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is this is a Windows Phone product, so that's kind of also bad for Microsoft, too, because Microsoft really doesn't have any flagship Windows phones out there that are supposed to be huge phones like the Lumia was supposed to be. So, bad for Microsoft, too. Wondering whose fault this is.
Nokia.
You think?
Yeah. They're the ones selling this stuff. You know, why don't you beta test it before you send it out?
No, Trekkie. Clearly, this was a conspiracy by Apple to destroy the competition.
I would think more of
Google. You know what the funny part about this is, now that you bring Apple up? Apple had an issue with...
E-books.
With what?
E-books.
No. They had a problem with the antennas in the iPhone 4 that resulted in free bumpers going out to everyone. Apple got away with that relatively scot-free, so I'm wondering what kind of bug is in the Lumia 900 and if Nokia could have pulled something similar like this off if they were Apple.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's something to think about, but I mean, isn't it a little late to be coming out with an iPhone killer given the iPhone's been relatively uninterrupted aside from a few interesting Android phones over the last year and a half or so?
Yeah, it's almost like someone's going to come out with the thing to beat the iPod.
Or the thing to beat Facebook.
Yeah.
So,
Google Plus.
Yes, I'm still behind that platform, actually. So, well, if you want a Windows phone on the cheap and you're in the U.S., you might as well go pick up one of these Lumia 900s, if available.
Or not.
And they say the phone was going to be key to Nokia's comeback in the U.S. My first phone was a Nokia. And it lasted for a long time.
What do you remember? You know, the fad right now is that Nokias are indestructible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were.
My first phone was a Samsung phone. That thing was horrible. I would actually charge it up overnight, and when I took it out the next morning out of the charge, I had to say that battery was drained. That phone was bad. When the contract was over, we got rid of it so fast.
Oh, that's good. So, that's it for tech news. Moving on to other things.
Scale Scott of month.
April defense. Looks like we still got a bit of a race going on, maybe, in the top three.
Mm-hmm.
Running first is marking. I mean, a div with... 2.6 million XP. Marking 22 is in second place. Sorry about that. With 2 million XP gained. And the Lion 777 is in third place with 1.3 million experience gained, almost. So it looks to still be a bit of a race, but there's a huge spread there. I'm sure if one of the top three speeds up or slows down, we could see something interesting there. Not much hope for outside the top three there, because after that we go down to 500. Okay, about for position number 4 and 5. So, best of luck to everyone competing, and please do make this interesting for us. Month isn't even half over yet. So, anyways, I'm gonna have a little chat now about something that I just released last night. It's something that has been in the work for quite a while. It wasn't designed by us or built by us. It's a new signature project, what we're calling the personal skill signatures. Essentially, you guys all know we have our old skill signatures, which were individually designed to be unique, because, you know, all those other fan sites out there had signatures that were made out of cookie cutter presses and whatnot, where you just choose a certain background and character. Well, the personal skill signatures are a bit different in that it's a signature where you get to choose the layout of the icons, the color of the background, a character image, the color of the fonts themselves, and you can also tweak the positioning of the fonts as well. So what we've got here is this signature project that will form the backbone of all new signatures on RSBNB going forward. For instance, when a new skill comes out, we'll be updating our old signatures to use the new signature system as an example. So there's lots in the future for the SIG system that's was actually designed by Chief Snake. He had this idea last year that it would be interesting to pull together a signature system like this, so we said go for it. It was actually something that we had the idea to do back in 2006, but the technology didn't exist to do so. So now we've actually got something that does what we wanted it to do in 2006 and does an excellent job of it and is really nice and simple to use. So we hope you'll check out the RuneScape personal signatures. You can just access them by heading over to the main RSBNB page, choosing signatures and then personal skill signatures, and there's a huge selection of character images to choose from. So this is actually what the Shane's Pictures advertising in the past month and a bit was actually all for, was to get people to submit images to be used in the signature project. So if you submitted one of those here, you might see your image on the signatures. Also, of course, the content crew helped in cutting those out. And then, of course, also we have to remember that it was Chief Snake's work that went into the signature system. And without him, the system would not exist. So that's another reason to have the Chief Snake appreciation thread.
And there's so many colors you could use. Gosh.
I know.
It's almost unlimited.
I know.
So many characters as well. This is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, we're using these characters we had from the competition signatures as well. So we already had a good starting base, but we wanted some more high-resolution ones.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13.
Counting how many characters we have?
Yes. It's what?
I think it's over 300.
17 lines of 13. So 17 by 13, that is...
So that's 221.
Which is quite a few.
Yeah, did you count the female ones too?
No, no, I didn't. Gosh, so... 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8...
Yeah.
So 7 of 13 plus 9.
221 gives us
330-ish or so.
Yeah, so I was right, 300 plus.
Yeah. So, that's a lot of choice.
And you know, we're going to be adding more to this in the future. We're going to be adding more layouts, more backgrounds, more images. Details will be coming in a few days about how you can actually get your images, backgrounds, or layouts to us to have them inserted. And also, based on some feedback from actually seeing some of the signatures around, within a few days, I'll have a way to resize the character and change the positioning of the character by just a bit, because there's some characters that overlap the icons and... some characters that are too small based on the intelligent resizing that we do. So, definitely, we're definitely very proud of this little thing. And how does it work for you since you're free to play?
Well, of course, I'd have to manually input any of my stats, right? Which is something that I'm not really willing to do right now. But I just did it with all ones, right? And it looks really good. Like, I could pick any kind of color I wanted. Any kind of contrast to any kind of signature, and it looks really, really good.
Mm-hmm. And you could also go with the
Of course, on the other side, you could also be color impaired, and you could pick the worst possible hot pink plus purple and black on red combinations that you could.
Yeah, that was our only concern with this project, is that people might actually do this and people would say, what is RSBNB doing having a signature out like this?
Yeah. Well, let's hope that people are trying to showcase their own character and their skills, and they're going to be taking some pride in that, and therefore they wouldn't have a signature that's so hideously awful that they wouldn't want us advertising.
Because you can use practically any color under the sun you want to use for the text. I mean, any color, really. So just be mindful when you're doing that. And also... you know, we could have went further with this using more web technology, but unfortunately, because the target is forums, we couldn't go 100% truly based on CSS rendering. Still had to use the old kind of rendering for the final product. But
it looks really definitely. Good. I can
tell it's... And, you know, it's a Chief Snake design.
So, of course, it's going to work and look nice.
Yeah, look nice, primarily. It was my job to get it working into the system and everything, so I think I did I think I got everything working. There might be a few bugs to pull. I don't know, because I know Southrend said it doesn't work on IE9 for some reason, which is really strange to me. But, you know, I didn't test IE9 because I don't have easy access to IE9 for testing.
Well, it works quite well on Firefox 11.
Yep, but that's what you should be using these days, Firefox or Chrome. So definitely check them out. rsvmb.com/runescape-personal-signatures. Create one and share it with the world. And also, you'll notice that I am actually modeling in a few of these character images too, so you can see what some of my images look like. So, of course, we'll have a way for everyone to get their little face on here too. So. Enjoy. I was quite happy when I put this out last night, as you can probably tell by how much I'm talking about it right now.
Well, it looks really good from my perspective, which makes it quite good, I think.
What about you, Trekkie? You like it?
Yeah, I like it.
Good. All right, so achievements of the week. Cole, you want to start?
We have 3 99s this week, so starting with RiceA13, who got 99 fishing just yesterday. Congratulations.
Next up was Adiv with 99 Slayer on the 10th.
And finally, we have Monster Mass 22, got 99 mining.
On the 9th. So congratulations to you all for your 99s. Those 99s are by no means easy, so good job all around.
Yeah, when are you going to get a 99 fishing, Shane? We're waiting on you.
No, that's a taboo skill. I'm not getting 99 fishing.
You're going to say 98 forever?
Yes. Okay, so does someone have a pick for us?
I do have a pick this week.
All right, and that's good you came back from your internet blabs.
Yes. It is called bunnycomic.com, and basically there's this fun little character named Bunny who, despite all of his optimism and his best efforts, something always seems to go wrong with him. And I find it's actually quite a depressingly hilarious webcomic, and the guy who updates it is Ryan Pagalo, and he's actually from Edmonton, believe it or not. And he's actually won a few awards. He's actually won a few awards from some comic contest or whatever that he did. And but some of these are just absolutely hilarious. I like scrolling through them. They're all basically picture based, not text based. So
right.
So anyone of any language.
I don't get what this one means
anyone of any language can basically kind of understand the gist of what's going on. Well, basically, what he's doing in the newest one here is he's playing bowling, right? So he's getting a strike,
I got that.
And so then he comes out afterwards, and the bowling balls that the bowling pins that he knocked over, they ended up setting fire to his car, and the. Of course, the one before that, he's putting up the lost signs
everywhere. Why would bowling pins set fire to a car?
Well, why would a bunny play bowling anyways, right? It's
You're
basically just
it, Shane.
But in the previous one, he's going around putting up lost cow signs around town, and then he goes by the butcher shop where there's a bunch of meat being displayed in the window. The one before that is the Easter bunnies going around town when he's not looking. He takes off his Easter bunny suit, and it turns out he's a giant chicken laying all the eggs.
Oh, that's great. So
the one before that, the Easter Bunny is giving Bunny his Easter egg, hatches a chick who opens up all the wallets, goes back to the Easter Bunny, who's deviously has all the jewelry and wallets in front of him.
Okay.
Some of these are pretty funny. I enjoy the comic. And he updates them quite frequently, usually about 3 times a week. So on XKCD levels of updating, which is pretty nice.
And they're all clean, they seem. It doesn't seem like there's anything inappropriate here.
Mostly clean. There are like mafia members who shoot up things and whatnot, but they're mostly clean. But they're kind of, you know, some of them are kind of depressing. So go at them with your own risk. But if you like that sort of thing, they're pretty funny.
Like the one here where the guy was picking clover. He thought he was picking clover, and it probably turned out to be poison ivy because he was all itchy after.
Yes.
That's funny. I like that one.
Easy cooking. So. Bake some cookies and set the house on fire.
Oh. Hey, you know, this might be the kind that kind of comic that I like, based on that type of comedy we diagnosed me as. Taking mispleasure in other people's. Schadenfreude. I think it was.
Oh, there's another one here where the Tooth Fairy is gathering up all the tooths that she takes from all the houses. She goes back to her place, grinds up the tooths, and then snips them. And Bunny's looking in the window. He's like, oh, no. There's one where the world blows up and Bunny's one of the last, he's the last remaining male survivor, and the last female comes running towards him and she ends up falling off the earth. So he can't catch a break anytime.
And it's nice there's a central character too behind it, so
Yeah.
Good pick. Two good picks in a row. I've really got a task for me next week to make a good pick now. Alright, so what have we been doing? Kali, you can go first.
Well, I've been mostly going to work, saving up for school still. It's going pretty good, though. And of course, the hockey playoffs have started, so I've been watching the Canucks. And I've also been... They'll win next game. And I've also been playing Mass Effect 3 in my spare time. It's taken me about a month to finish it off, but I finally got through the ending, and yes, the endings are as bad as everyone says, and I sure hope they fix it somehow. The multiplayer is tons of fun. I'm actually quite enjoying it, and I'm going back to that every so often. And it's a lot of fun. And other than that, I'm not really doing too much with myself or life. mostly work takes up a lot of time, unfortunately. So,
okay.
Weather's getting better, too, which is nice.
No, that's good. That's good. Our snow is finally gone.
Oh, that's good.
So, Trekkie?
Oh, I haven't been doing much. In the game wise, I ended up getting a ton of Dragonstones coming in, so I've been making them all week. I got a lot. I honestly have not left Lunar Isle in a while, except to go to GE.
Okay.
So I've been making a lot of glitters. No, that's about it.
All right. As for me in game, I've been ice bursting my rock lobsters. Finally got to that task after I did what I said I was going to do last week after doing the Mauritania easy and medium tasks. So I'm happy about that. It's just such a pain to get down to the rock lobsters because, you know, you need 2 people to step on the pressure pads, but now you actually need 3 people to go in there because previously you used to be able to use a rune throwing axe and use a special on that to take out all of the little barriers to get down into the first level. So now you need 3 people, one on each side, to do that. Well, 2 to open the first door, 1 person go through that way. Then on the other side, 2 people go through that door as well. So it's just really annoying to get down there. So if anybody knows a faster way of getting to the rock lobsters, I'm all ears. Or if you know a faster way of getting charms than rock lobsters, I'm all ears as well. So if anybody knows any faster way, just please do let me know. if there's less, something less annoying down there. Aside from that, in game, just doing my daily flasks, potion flasks. That's still good money. So I highly recommend if you have the crafting and mining levels that you really should be doing that. And aside from that, just the SIG system this week, putting all the finishing touches on that. Waiting for all the images to come in last week, so that's what we were waiting on then. And after that, yeah, that's pretty much it. I finally got a bit of a break in terms of coding. Not much to do in terms of big RSBNB projects yet, so I can focus on fixing all kinds of little bugs and places and whatnot. So I have a whole bunch of enhancements I want to do on various things. So that's probably what I'll end up doing next. But yeah, that's me.
That's
so
good.
So unless anybody has anything else, I think we can call this episode done.
I was scrolling through Facebook. Apparently the power outage was Victoria-wide and not just my place, because people from all corners of the city were experiencing a power outage for about 10-15 minutes or so. So I don't know what happened, but it definitely wasn't just me.
Well, it's good. That's good. We got you back, and as always, it's good to talk to you on the show. Trek and I will probably be here next week, assuming our power doesn't go out as well. So, see you next week, everyone.
As always, a pleasure. See you next time. Next time. Bye.